This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. Sofia Coppola's Oscar-winning hit Lost in Translation was the charming story of two strangers who meet in a hotel in Tokyo. A listless middle-aged actor, played by Bill Murray, and a listless recent college graduate and newlywed, played by Scarlett Johansson. Coppola's new movie, Somewhere, is a bit of an echo of Lost in Translation. Once again, it's set in a hotel. And it's also about a mopey male movie star and a young blonde. This time, the star is played by Stephen Dorff, but the girl is just 11 years old, the daughter who has suddenly re-entered his life.
Hey, Cleo.
Hey. Why are you taking a bath next door? Is yours broken?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been acting weird. What a nice surprise. Come on in. You got your stuff? Shouldn't you be in school today?
It's Sunday.
Sofia Coppola, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you.
So the character that Stephen Dorff plays, the star of your movie, Johnny Marco, is kind of a pathetic, worthless-seeming cipher to me in his celebrity bubble, except then we see him be this decent, obviously loving father to this kid, and he's becomes likable. Was that the germ, the intention?
Well, I wanted to start with this guy that's just drifting and kind of tripping through life with lots of random girls and pills and his Ferrari. And he's kind of just out of balance and out of touch with real life. And then spending some time with his 11-year-old daughter kind of wakes him up and reminds him of a part of himself that he lost touch with.
But except for the fact that, he's nice to his kid, we don't see anything else about him. We don't see him reading. We don't see him reacting to people in a particularly revealing way one way or the other, which isn't, you know, how they tell you to do things in writing 101.
He's very passive, but I think you get what kind of guy he is. But he is passive. He's kind of numb and he's just letting things happen to him. But I think you get a sense of him that he's not a bad guy. He's polite with the people he interacts with.
Even the strippers he hires, he's perfectly nice to and not very predatory toward.
Yeah, and he doesn't feel like it, but he gives them a little applause. So I feel like he's a polite guy, but he's just lost touch. And it's true, he's very flawed and he could be very unlikable, but I think because he's sweet underneath it, hopefully you connect to him.
He's a movie star. We're not sure exactly what kind of movies he makes or what level he is. Did you have a Brad Pitt, a Leo DiCaprio, or some level of stardom in mind for this guy?
Yeah, he was based on a bunch of different kind of movie star actors that I've known or met or heard stories about and mixed them all together. Yeah, I think he's pretty famous. He's become famous recently, and he's doing a press conference in the movie for a movie he's done called Berlin Agenda. So you get the idea that he's kind of done some big action movie that he's not very proud of.
Yeah.
I never want to show him making a movie. It's not really about the film business,
right,
but that's the backdrop. But I try to think of things that actors would do, you know, in between films, like get a head plaster cast, or they sometimes learn strange skills. And you hear stories about actors having romances with their leading ladies. And I thought, well, what happens when they have to get back together?
You hear stories. You're in the movie business. You must experience those
stories. I've seen some things. But then I thought, like, what's it like when they have to be together a year later for a reshoot or a press junket?
Yeah.
And, you know, they've been like, I think in Hollywood they was like get engaged. Everything's heightened when you're doing a movie and then it's over.
Let's listen to a scene. This is where he and his daughter Cleo, played by Elle Fanning, and by the way, Elle Fanning is, as I'm sure you realize, an extraordinary person, boon to your film.
Yeah, I loved working with her, and I think she brings so much.
Here they are at a film festival. She's eating breakfast in this fancy hotel with Johnny and the woman he just slept with
There's no dialogue in the scene. How do you? I'm curious. Okay.
Well, we'll see.
How old are you, Cleo?
11.
Do you have a boyfriend? When I was 11, I was so in love with this boy, Nino Vitti. He was so handsome. And he had a scooter. Do you like to ride a scooter?
Sure.
Morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Mm.
what I love about that scene is the looks between Elle Fanning and Stephen Dorff, because they say so much without any dialogue, but you kind of get the whole thing that she's telling him, get this girl out of here.
You like doing that, right? You like sort of saying, having as little as you can get away with in dialogue and making scenes work.
Yeah, I like, you know, in life how so much is conveyed by the way someone gives a look or a glance. And I think, you know, a lot of times in movies people explain all their feelings, but in life, you know, you're not always able to or articulate a lot of things. And part of the fun of making films is telling the story in a visual way.
It's an entirely visual way. A lot of the times where the film begins with Johnny riding his Ferrari around a track that I, because I'm stupid, didn't realize was a track or even the same car until about the third time around.
It's sort of abstract, this image at the beginning.
Yeah, so. But that's really what it is. It is like a piece of video art practically.
Thank you. When I started writing it, I thought about this guy in his Ferrari and he'd have to go out to a track somewhere outside of L.A. in the middle of nowhere to be able to drive it around because you're stuck in traffic in L.A.
Right.
And so I just imagined him going around this track in circles. And, you know, I thought it would be a visual way to set up right away that the state of his life, that he's just kind of going around in circles and introduce him that way.
Well, that and the scene where he's this long, involved process of getting his old man makeup.
A head cast
made. I mean, one comes away thinking, among other things, wow, the life of this glamorous superstar is kind of boring and unglamorous.
Yeah, well, I think when you're in any kind of life, there's all the other sides that people don't see that don't seem glamorous. I can't imagine anyone's life feels glamorous to them.
On the inside?
Yeah.
Unless they're taking drugs or something, I guess.
Yeah.
Marie Antoinette, which I loved, was this big, crazy, stimulating, attitude-filled, incident-packed movie. Maximalist. This is minimalist. The opposite, pretty much. What was making this film a kind of pendulum swing reaction to that?
I think it was definitely a reaction to that. That after, you know, it was just so much decoration and also my girly feminine side. And so I thought after that, I felt like trying to do something from a guy's point of view and do something very sparse and minimal and work with a small, intimate crew.
It's interesting to me that Lost in Translation, your great big hit, about a star and his staying in a hotel. This is another movie about a star staying in a hotel, the Chateau Marmont in L.A. What is attractive to you about setting a film in a hotel?
I guess I like the way hotels become this kind of world within themselves, the kind of people that stay there. And because it's not permanent, it makes sense to me for these characters that are sort of in transition in their life.
It adds a sense of drift and unmooredness, I guess.
As
we mentioned, Lost in Translation has Bill Murray as this middle-aged actor and Scarlett Johansson who meet at a bar in the hotel and find that they can relate to each other better than their respective significant others. I want to play a clip from that film.
What are you doing?
My husband's a photographer, so he's here working. And I wasn't doing anything, so I came along. And we have some friends that live here.
How long have you been married?
Oh, thank you. 2 years?
25 long ones.
You're probably just having a midlife crisis. Did you buy a Porsche yet?
You know, I was thinking about buying a Porsche.
That is Bill Murray and Scarlett Johansson in Lost in Translation. That scene and that film, like Somewhere as well, requires and expects, I guess, a kind of patience on the part of the audience that movies less and less seem to demand, require, expect. And there's also something, in both of these cases, very low concept. It's a guy and his daughter.
Yeah.
A guy and his, from divorce. These two people who happen to meet. It's not like the Hollywood pitch. And she's has anorexia, and he's a pilot who cures anorexia or anything. Is that your desire to just be more like real life in the films you make?
Yeah, definitely. I think I try to avoid kind of how they would do it in a movie and do it more like life. And I feel like in a movie you'd have to encounter a big disaster or be held hostage or something to motivate a character to change. But I feel like in life...
Die Hard in a Japanese hotel.
Yeah. But I feel like in life there can be little moments that make a big impact and change you, and it doesn't sound like a big deal. And I want to look at those.
And the films you make are relatively inexpensive, a few million rather than many tens of millions of dollars. Is that because that's the way you like to work, or because the kinds of movies you like to make can only work in a business sense at that budget?
Yeah, I think it's both. I try to just keep the budget as small as possible so I can have complete creative freedom. And if it was bigger, I'd have more notes and opinions.
They wouldn't let you start the movie with a car going around in a circle for 5 minutes?
Yeah, and I might have to have a plot.
There you go. Well, more power to you.
Thanks.
Sofia Coppola, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sofia Coppola's new film, Somewhere, is in theaters right now.
10:30 in this hotel room. You and I locked in the gloom. Lost out of love once again. But I've got you here with me, friend, 'cause you're here in my arms. Here in my arms.